Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and talkdigitalnetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Salvatore Vetro, one of the proponents of the Recall David EV campaign taking place in the riding of West Point Grey in Vancouver, online at recalldavidev.ca. Salvatore, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you very much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here and to inform British Columbians as to what's taking place in the recall. I think we're the 29th recall application that has gone through over the past 30 years.
First, can you give us some background on your involvement in the fight against the HST and specifically the West Point Grey riding? And that was a recall that was province-wide. Everybody said it was impossible to do, and the citizens did it. So can you tell us a little bit about that battle?
Thank you for that. Excellent question. What it was, it wasn't a recall effort. It was called an initiative petition. So what that entails, which is far different than the recall, in an initiative petition actually encompasses all the ridings throughout British Columbia. Back in 2010, which is when we formed the initiative petition, it was 85 ridings at that time. Nowadays, it's 87 ridings. So what it was you would have to get 10% guaranteed throughout every single riding throughout the province. We stretched it to obtaining 13 to 14%, and the last remaining riding that we needed happened to be in West Point Grey, which was Gordon Campbell's riding at the time. Now, for about 30 years or so, that was a stronghold for the BC Liberals. Very affluent area, very upscale, and very people from way back in the 60s that immigrated from all parts of the world. So that was one riding where we were short about, we were at about 9%, and we needed 10, and we pulled out literally all the stops. By that I mean at West 4th and Vine was where we had set up a booth, tents, people. There must have been at least 50 volunteers from my recollection 11 years ago. And we were determined, because we had reached our 10% plus, so we reached for 13%, and we got it in every other riding except for Gordon Campbell's. Because the initiative, the way it states in the Recall and Initiative Act, is that if you lose one riding out of the 85, then you lost the whole thing. So that was, you know, it was a big deal for us. But, you know, Bill Vanderzam, his wife, his kids, there was so many people that showed up. We had to do this. But, you know, in the end, to be quite honest with you, Jim, it was the people that decided that they didn't want the tax. Once it was revealed that the Liberals were taking $2 billion out of the economy into the hands of outside companies, outside of British Columbia and even Canada, and they were not going to create one single job. The HST was to be taxed on every single living thing. And nowadays, 11 years ago, we still don't have the HST. And also, I believe that we have saved literally hundreds of millions of dollars just on junk food alone. Restaurants aren't taxed with the HST. You rent a room in a hotel, it's not charged, the HST, haircuts, taxis, the list went on and on. And we wrote up a list, and there would have been 50 items, at least, And when the people saw what the government was trying to do, they were just telling us, and it was, they were just telling us, set up the booths, we'll come there and sign. Trust me, believe you me, there was lineups galore to sign that petition. And out of approximately 725,000 that we received, there was at least, if I remember correctly, about 150,000 that were rejected by Elections BC. But, you know, we won that fight, and I believe we're going to win this again in the same riding that we did 11 years ago.
Why are you trying to recall David Eby? Is it about Bill 36? And if it is about Bill 36, can you tell us about Bill 36?
Well, Bill 36, number one, I didn't even know about it. And, I mean, I'm retired from driving a handy dart bus for the past 25 years. I've been retired for about 5 years. I love to act, so I'm an actor in my retirement years. And it was specifically that all of a sudden I heard about it, and it was that they were mandating vaccines for every healthcare worker. And they didn't seem to bother too much when the pandemic first started about the healthcare workers being vaccinated. So on October the 24th of 2022, by their own admission, it was an overhaul of the healthcare system. So when I heard about that, I said, well, if it was an overhaul, and I tried to send emails to David Eby, I phoned him, I never got one reply back, not one single, because what my idea was, as a constituent, I wanted to see a town hall meeting to discuss not only Bill 36, but the pandemic that we're currently going through, the emergency, and so on and so forth, possibly other cures besides what the pharmaceutical companies were professing. So and then it was introduced on October the 24th, and oddly enough, less than a month, just over a month later, 5 weeks, they, without any further debate, they invoked cloture. They had only talked about 233 parts of the act where there were 645 sections. Now, why would they do that? And it was just before Christmas, so people weren't aware of it, and Christmas was coming on. They didn't pay attention or anything. So it was shoved through. It was in vote closure. We passed it. We had royal assent, so it's a done deal. They haven't enacted it yet, but they could call that any time, and the legislature is going to meet sometime this month. So I was deeply upset, and I had given it some thought before Rick Dignard approached me and said, hey, we were successful in the HST. Why don't we take the premier on? We could do this. And the people were hopping mad. And for the past 2 weeks, when we've only been approved 2 weeks as of Tuesday, not even 10 days, we have had to educate people about Bill 36. And in particular, one of the things that's contained in the actual bill, and this is verbatim, and I have to say, this is why Bill 36 should be concerning for you. Number one, the government can order a provider to produce a patient's private clinical records at any given time under Section S20, bracket 1, bracket C-D. Number two, it will enable the government to search and seize property of the provider under Section S506, bracket 1, A to D. And the third thing, it allows the government to dictate arbitrary conditions of licensure and impose restrictions and limitations on the ability to practice in BC under Section 49, bracket 1, bracket V. And to your listeners, they can actually go on to recalldavideb.ca, and they can actually look under the bill, and they can check, and they can fact check for themselves that this is actually written in stone, and what I've just read out is total verbatim.
Now, isn't one of the most onerous conditions here in Bill 36, if a doctor doesn't go along with these onerous rules, which I personally believe violates the Canadian Constitution, $200,000 fine and 6 months in jail. Pretty harsh.
Absolutely. I mean, I would not want to be a service provider, a healthcare professional, be it a doctor, a nurse, a registered massage therapist, a chiropractor, a TCM, an optometrist, a dentist. It's like they want to control the people. And I say the government should not be and is not my doctor. Confidentiality between a doctor and his patient is very, very privileged and sacrosanct, just like a lawyer is solicitor-client privilege with his client. And they are breaking rules all over the place, but it just seems, and this is where people should really be angry about this, there's no talk, there's no involvement. Bill 36 wasn't talked about in any constituency throughout the province. We heard very little from the BC Liberals. The Greens were just, I hadn't heard anything from them. So it really is bothersome to me, and that's why we initiated this recall petition against the Premier. Voting closure, shutting off debate, to me, and I did call him a dictator, I will make no bones about that, but he is a dictator. Why wouldn't he, after his own admission by his own government that they studied it for 5 years, hold constituent town hall meetings in every single constituency without the province? Would he not want the people's input to say, this is what we're doing, what do you think? It seems like government has lost the right to govern under those conditions.
Why do you think EB rammed through Bill 36?
Well, you know, in some respects, I believe that the World Economic Forum and Mr. Klaus Schwab have something to do with policy, albeit nobody knows about it. There is no whistleblowers coming out and stating that. This is just an opinion of my own. And it seems like they like to do things their way. It's my way or the highway, which a lot of people don't like that. That people like to be consulted. They want to know what's going on with their health care. They want to know what's going to happen. If this bill is enacted and followed through, then you will see a mass exodus of healthcare practitioners out of this province going somewhere else. I've been living in BC for 50 years, and I do not want to see them leave. And they shouldn't leave. And that's why I'm an Italian fighting man, that I have to do this, not only on behalf of my fellow British Columbians, but I want to do it on behalf of my children and my grandchildren. They deserve better. Absolutely.
How is the recall campaign going so far?
You know, I'll be honest with you, and forthright. It's been to begin with, it was a struggle, but you know, we had some lead time. What we did, was we gave Mr. David Eby, the Premier of the province and my MLA, we gave him a nice Christmas present. So just before Christmas, we actually had applied on December the 19th, and we have a nice little caricature, or it was on the website, of a Santa Claus with a box that says recall, and a little guy on the other end with a little badge called Eby. And we were giving David Eby a present for Christmas called recall. And I don't know if he saw it at that point, but, you know, it was, we had to do this. And the timing was, had to be, and we got approval in principle. I believe it was January the 12th. And then a week later, we actually had the approval to start canvassing for signatures. But the organizational structure was, you know, immense, enormous, you know, to gather. I think on the first day we submitted about 50 canvasser registrations to Elections BC, and we were out of the gate, and right away we had to set up a lot of different things, which we had done, and it was pre-petition period that we were able to get some materials made up, and we knew that we would get approved. There was no doubt about it, because the legislation strictly states that if I, Salvatore Betro, as a constituent of Mr. David Eby, my MLA, if I think that he's not doing a very good job, then under the Recall and Initiative Act, I have the authority, and they have to approve it along with a recall statement that they never altered one little bit. And one thing I'd like to tell your listeners is that this is the only province in the entire Commonwealth of the countries where you can recall your MLA. And I think that's very good. That's democracy working. And the other thing about this that I must make your listeners aware of, this is, there is no way that they can cheat. There's no way that they can commit fraud. There's none of that, because I hold all the petitions. I have a copy of all the petitions, the signatures. I keep a copy just in case when it comes to the verification period that we are able to coincide and to work it out, albeit Elections BC does that first, but we have copies to see what was rejected and to make formal complaints if there is it's found to be any errors. But I believe that we will win this petition. We're in it to win it. And it's my team, 36 volunteers that are of the same mindset. And now we've had to educate people, as I said, stated earlier, they didn't know about Bill 36, so this has been on me. That should have come from the MLAs to hold town hall meetings. And he did not hold one town hall meeting ever within the 3 years that he, since the last election and before that, because he's been in since 2013. I've not seen one. I've never received anything in the mail, which he's allowed to do. So, you know, I don't think that's right. That they don't hold any meetings.
Well, this is one of the most secretive governments I've ever dealt with. Now you have to pay to file a Freedom of Information request, and it's specifically designed to keep us from digging in to what the government's doing behind closed doors. Anyway, should Bill 36 be totally scrapped, or are there changes that could be made to save our healthcare system from losing its best people?
It's definitely. And here's the other thing I want to point out. I have not seen, they may have asked for input, written input, but I haven't seen Mr. Adrian Dix, our health minister, Bonnie Henry, the premier, David Eby. I have not seen them hold one meeting where they have had healthcare professionals actually in a room, in a round table discussion, and say, okay, this is what we came up with. You don't like it, obviously. What parts don't you like? Why should it be that the government mandates vaccination when it should be my body and my choice? And it's already been proven, Pfizer's come out and said this, folks, that it doesn't stop transmission. And if you do get vaxxed, then it's going to be, you're continually going to get it every time. So really, I just don't quite get why he did not consult the healthcare professionals, albeit from every single department. Because he wants to shrink it from 26 agencies down to 6. And then it's not healthcare practitioners that are actually, when there's a complaint lodged, it's somebody from government. It's like, and it just doesn't make sense. I really get upset when I talk about it because that's not democracy. That's dictatorial governance in a totalitarian, tyrannical state. And that's not my British Columbian. And I don't think, and I believe that all British Columbians will agree with me on that particular point. Because why?
Was David Eby a good attorney general for BC?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about that. At first, when I heard about the corruption in the casinos and he was investigating it, and I've received several, you know, phone calls about dirt on him, but I'm not speaking to that because I don't have it here right now and I can't prove it, so there's been a lot of controversy about him as an attorney general in the housing sector, in particular in Vancouver Point Grey, where he actually increased the taxes if your house is worth $3 million, even though you may have been a senior citizen that bought that house back in the 50s for $100,000 and it went up to $5 million. Well, where are they going to get the money? They either had to do a reverse mortgage or they'd have to find it somewhere or they'd have to sell because they couldn't afford his taxes.
Is the mainstream media starting to give the recall campaign some attention?
The mainstream media. The only time they gave me any kind of attention is the day that Elections BC put out a press release. All day long, they started to call me a Nazi after they wrote out several reports from Black Press. And I'm anything but a Nazi. If you look up my name and Google me, I've helped the homeless over the years. I've been a handy dart for 25 years of my life. I've been in the people's service business. I'm an actor, so what's wrong with being an actor? It's like they played it in a negative light, and it's totally my choice in my life. But the only person, and I will give her credit for this, is Penny Doblos. She has written two pieces on Adrian Dix, muzzling of healthcare workers, and you can't speak out against the government or we're going to come after you. She wrote two fabulous articles about 2 weeks ago. I am disappointed, I'll say this much, Jim, that I've reached out to her for an interview, and I would gladly like the interview to go through, but I haven't heard back from her. my own personal feeling on that is that she's been told by her handlers at CTV not to go near the recall campaign.
Yeah, well, one of the problems I have with the television stations is the things that you want to investigate are major ad buyers. The BC government, you know, puts millions into TV telling you to do this, do that, the hydro ads and so on. So if you start digging too deep into the government, they pull the ads and you lose millions in revenue. Could the World Economic Forum be dictating policy here in BC?
You know, my gut, and I have a good gut, you know, I believe so. There is no doubt about it. I mean, we are we are the province, and Nova Scotia is also the one that will not rehire the healthcare workers in British Columbia. That to me is just, that alone itself is a healthcare, is a, an election issue. So yes, I believe in my mind that there is enough evidence out there. They'll call us conspiracy theorists, but believe you me, there is enough evidence out there to suggest and to see that the World Economic Forum is somehow dictating policy in the BC government.
We'll have more with Salvatore Vetro right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Salvatore Vetro. How can people get involved in the recall campaign?
Well, that's a very good question, Jim, because, you know, we need all the help we can get because, as I stated earlier, they can't cheat or commit fraud. So, in other words, it's registered canvassers that are the only ones that can solicit signatures on the petition sheet. And it has to be original. And every sheet of every day has to be witnessed by the registered canvasser approved by myself and Elections BC. That's what has to happen. And on our website, we have, it's a very easy 1, 2, 3 step to become a volunteer registered canvasser because nobody as a registered canvasser can, be paid. It's all voluntary. Every single position in the, campaign for the David Eby recall is all voluntarily based, period. So on our, you'll see a canvasser registration page, and it has steps 1, 2, and 3. And basically what it is they fill out the form. It's an online fillable form, and it's already filled out with David Eby as the MLA that's being recalled, and his electoral district is Vancouver Point Grey.
What are the requirements for people to be able to sign the petition to recall Eby?
Well, that's another good question. The only way that people can sign the petition is that they have to be, number one, a registered voter, automatically have to be a Canadian citizen, that goes without saying, but they also would have had to live in the riding and be a registered voter in the 2020 provincial election, which happened on October the 24th of 2020.
How and where can people sign the recall David Eby petition?
We have our main muster station at West 4th and Vine Street, and I'd like to just mention one other thing that from Elections BC, the voters list contains 8,500 people that have moved out of Vancouver West Point Grey since the 2020 election. That in and of itself tells you a lot about the kind of policy that the NDP, and in particular David Eby, has caused in the riding of Vancouver West Point Grey. But we are also actively soliciting those people that have moved out, some as far north as Prince George, Smithers, the Vancouver Island they moved to, a lot went out to the Fraser Valley, the Okanagan. So those are the people where we currently have a team in place to actually go and find those voters that are eligible.
Do you have a message for people living in condo buildings or towers in West Point Grey?
Well, that is a very difficult situation because we cannot actually enter the buildings. We have to seek permission. Unlike the when it's a general election, they have to let you into the building. They have no choice. But what we are doing in the next week,
We are doing a complete mail-out to the complete riding of condominiums and houses, and we're doing a postcard. And one thing I do want to emphasize for those people that are listening is that we do house call petition signing for seniors, shut-ins, and people with disabilities. You call, we come, and we're working on a 1-800 number, so that way they can just call us up, ask us about Bill 36, and we will inform them, and I will speak to them directly.
Where can people follow the recall of David Eby, and how can people contact you?
Well, the website is called recalldavideby.ca, and people can contact me at 604-710-2100. My last comment that I'd like to make, Jim, is that this petition will not be won by the people that have organized it. It will be the voters of Vancouver West Point Grey. They're the ones that will decide the fate of Mr. Eby, whether he stays or whether he's driven out of town, because it's in their hands. And as Elon Musk said just recently, it's power to the people. We can do this. We will do this. Please come and help us. And if you have a few dollars to spare, please donate to the cause. Nobody's getting paid, but it costs money to advertise through the printed materials, signs, etc., etc.
Salvatore, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
And thank you for the opportunity, Jim. I look forward to it, and we'll do this again sometime soon in the very near future. Take care and have a wonderful weekend.
My guest has been Salvatore Vetro, one of the proponents of the Recall David Eby campaign taking place in the riding of West Point Grey in Vancouver. You can find them online at recalldavideby.ca. I'm Jim Goddard. Thanks for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.